Going out to eat isn't just about the food. It's also time to enjoy a good conversation with friends and or family. These days, though, easier said than done, or easier said than heard. Restaurants have been getting louder over the years as their designs have changed. That's due in part to our changing ideas of luxury, and for restaurant owners, the realization that a noisier space might actually be more profitable. Kate Wagner is an architecture and design critic based in Baltimore. Her recent piece in The Atlantic is called How Restaurants Got So Loud. Kate, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, as I've gotten a little older, I've noticed restaurants getting a little loud, and maybe I was thinking, well, maybe it's just me getting older. It's not really happening. But is it really happening?
It's really happening, and it's been happening since about, I'd say, the 1980s, actually. It's been decades of kind of increased loudness for various reasons.
And you write that you've been visiting restaurants with your decibel meter. What kinds of levels are you finding?
I'm finding some pretty shocking levels, actually. Some reaching from what we would consider not quiet, but mildly noisy, like in the 70 decibel range, around like how loud a sewing machine is, to decibel levels that are dangerous to human hearing, such as 85, 86, 90 decibels at times.
And you write that this might be a nuisance to diners, and we'll talk more about that, but you think about the staff working all day in a restaurant at these potentially unsafe noise levels.
It's definitely in the range where hearing protection is needed if you're going to be in a space for over 8 hours. And so I think that it could possibly be, in some cases, like on Friday nights, for example, at the busiest, loudest hours, an occupational safety hazard.
And what's driving this? You write that partly this is a design and materials issue. Can you talk about how our restaurants have changed over the last few decades?
So there's been an increasing trend towards open spaces and design that features hard surfaces, modern furnishings, things like open kitchens, communal tabling, bars in restaurants. And it's a trend, but it wasn't always necessarily like this. These trends started in the 1980s. Mostly in California, where places like Wolfgang Puck's restaurant Spago started to integrate opening up kitchens into the dining area, which increased noise, as well as creating new features like bars that are not separated from restaurants, the merging of table service into things like communal tables, or like these new developments for basically food court-like or food market-type restaurants that are even louder, but also changes in design, too.
Yeah, you write that back in the day, if you're thinking, I guess, 50s and 60s, a fancy restaurant meant lots of decoration and different softer materials that gave it that sort of very vibrant look, but also these materials that naturally absorb some of that sound that now is just bouncing off these hard materials.
It's true. So when we talk about mid-century dining, which is kind of funny because these new modern interiors pull influence from mid-century modernism. But fine dining at mid-century was all about being plush. Tablecloths, carpets, velvet curtains, low ceilings, quiet conversation. Think like French diner from, French restaurant from like Looney Tunes, for example. But now we kind of think of mid-century dining as like kitschy vinyl chairs and, all these hard surfaces and open eating areas. But those were mostly attributed in mid-century to lowbrow establishments like cafeterias or diners, not necessarily the finest and most luxurious dining experiences.
Talking to Kate Wagner, architecture and design critic from Baltimore. Her recent piece, The Atlantic, is called How Restaurants Got So Loud. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed this as a diner? Do you work at a restaurant? Is this a problem for you? Do you own a restaurant? Do you see this as a bad thing or a good thing? Call 800-642-1234. Bring on a caller now. Cindy is with us in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, I've noticed this a lot over the years, how these restaurants are so loud. Some of them I will walk into and I will just leave, but I rarely go out for dinner anymore. Lunches don't seem to be quite as bad, but for dinners, I rarely go out for dinner, and I used to dine out all the time because I can't stand the noise. So if their intent is to lose customers, it's working.
Cindy, thanks a lot for the call. But Kate, you write that there are some economic incentives toward loudness. Can you talk about some of that?
Sure. So some of that is, there have been studies that I linked in my piece that show a correlation between louder restaurants and people ordering more drinks under because they are stressed or ordering more sort of comfort food on healthy dishes. But also louder spaces are more profitable in a sort of more one-to-one kind of way. For example, hard surfaces like tile floors, wood floors, wood walls, no tablecloth, that stuff's easier to clean and there's fewer things to replace. Also things like open bars, open kitchens, or open bars and communal tables they lower overhead for you don't have to have as much wait staff than if you were having like a more formal table dining experience. And finally, louder restaurants produce higher turnover because, like you said, people leave faster, and that gets more and more people into a restaurant every night.
That makes me feel lovely. You're stressing me out so I drink more and driving me out faster. You've hit a nerve here, Kate. We've got full phone lines. Dave is with us in Milwaukee. Dave, hi.
Yes, blessings. I have a vegan restaurant in Milwaukee. We are cruelty-free. We use all reclaimed materials for our interior. We did go with the open concept, and as a result, we did have a lot of complaints early on regarding volume. What we did, we just implemented some simple policies, and I think we've really made a dent in that volume. We do ask people if it's not essential, at least with regard to their conversations, just not speak, and especially if they have views that don't kind of mesh or jive with our mood or our opinion. So we kind of just try to weed people out and get rid of the talkers, and the ones that do talk, we just remind them, hey, it's just not that important. And
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. I don't know. I don't know if that's legit, the solution. I'm sorry, Kate, getting people to not talk in your restaurant seems a bit extreme.
I mean, that's one way to do it, I guess.
Yeah. Other people have approached it by trying to change the materials. I mean, are there restaurant owners who have taken the different approach and tried changing those design elements to knock down the volume a little?
I think that the good news is that, first of all, people are getting really tired of this, especially since we have like a large aging population. And also high interior design in residential and other commercial spaces is moving towards more plush kind of an aesthetic. Like, I get El Decor every month, and it's all about maximalism, which is just a fancy way of like saying that you're using more less minimal kind of aesthetics, and you're using more soft goods like curtains and rugs and things like that, things with patterns, etc. And also there's lots of new products in the field of acoustics in terms of design. Acoustics is no longer just drop ceilings and these horrible foam panels, but now we have things like even like acoustic furniture and these like really ornate ceilings. And so I think it's a great time to be in design for sound, and I think that's going to be reflected more in the commercial sphere, hopefully.
Let's go to another caller now. Sid is with us in Madison. Hi, Sid.
Hey, what's up, man? So I would say that the biggest problem in a restaurant, I don't know if it would be the open kitchen or the materials used, but oftentimes they're just blasting music, and it's a lot of times it's weird like mainstream like hip-hop/dance, and it's way too loud just in a lot of places, you know what I mean?
All right, Sid, thanks a lot for the call. Is that I don't think we've even touched on the music. Sid says blaring in the background. Kate,
I think that's definitely a factor. One reason why people, and this is something that came up in my research but didn't necessarily make it into the piece, one reason why restaurateurs blast music, for example, or loud music in their restaurants is to make it seem like there are more people inside the restaurant. It makes it seem like more lively and it hopes to attract more customers. And there was an article in, I think, New York Magazine that I was reading that said that there were famous chefs that sort of first pioneered this technique starting about like 20 years ago. And so I definitely am in the boat of I don't really like a bunch of loud music, especially if I'm just having a dinner, like it's at a table restaurant, not necessarily at a bar or a club or something. I totally get it. It's more idiomatic to those kinds of spaces, but I definitely think that that's a factor in the noise.
Time for one more caller. Martha is with us in Madison. Hi, Martha.
Yeah, hi.
What's your story?
My story is my husband has a chronic health condition that includes an ongoing low-level headache, and we love to dine out, but we've reached a point where we barely do anymore because the noise in restaurants is so painful, literally painful to him. And I'm just really ashamed.
Martha, thanks a lot for the call. Kate, are restaurant owners responsible if they get calls from people, notes from people saying, hey, I stopped going to your place because it's too loud? Do they listen?
I don't know. In some cases, I think that they may listen because I've seen restaurants that have tried to fix the problem by hanging fiberglass panels or some other quick fix on the wall. But most of these problems are caused by poor spatial planning and poor planning at conception with regards to all the different materials that are used. Even things as like how high the ceilings are and, you know, how the HVAC is routed. I mean, it all comes together to form one acoustic condition. It's pretty hard to separate those things from each other. And I definitely think that, you know, you can't necessarily fix the problem by just, you know, buying some fiberglass panels necessarily. But I'm not quite sure exactly how restaurateurs respond to this problem, because I think, of course, some cases it's like, well, you're not necessarily the clientele we want. Maybe we want to be like young club-like kind of clientele. Or sometimes, you know, maybe they do take it to heart. They will turn the music down.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to Kate Wagner, architecture and design critic, author of the blog McMansion Hell. She was with us to talk about her piece in The Atlantic, How Restaurants Got So Loud.